Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Let's grab our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. What happened? You're all talking. What's that? You came for the music. What am I, chopped liver now? Isn't it? What's that? You didn't bring your Bible? What is happening? How many of you brought your Bibles? Thank you. Oh, a lot of iPads and iPhones and Android phones. Interesting, Pastor Jeff, who does a midweek Bible study, didn't bring his Bible. And he was the one who said he came for the music, by the way. Wanted to share a few thoughts with you. Hey, I'm a preacher. This is all I know how to do. Obviously, I'm never going to make it as a worship leader, so I'm going to stick with this. But, you know, I was thinking a little bit, reflecting back, looking at all these old videos and photos and putting that photo album together and thinking more about the past more intentionally than I have in a long time. I was trying to identify maybe some of the principles that have sort of guided us to where we are today. And one word that sort of bubbles up for me, well, of course, number one, it's Jesus. Let's just get that on the table. It's Jesus Christ. He has done this. He has done this. He is doing this. And we trust him to continue to guide us. But the other word that came to come up after that was the word faith. We've taken a lot of steps of faith over the years. And you know, faith is something that moves. Faith is belief plus action. Faith is a living, restless thing. It simply cannot be operative, inoperative, I should say. You've got to use your faith. In fact, faith is not unlike a muscle. The way you build a muscle up is through use. You effectively break it down and build it up. And if you do not use your muscles, they will atrophy. And in the same way, if you don't use your faith, it can turn to apathy. And so faith must be used for it to continue to be active in your life. And we've taken a lot of bold steps of faith. Well, where does faith come from? It comes from the Word of God. It comes from studying and believing the Word of God. We're told over in Hebrews that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Excuse me, Romans 10, 17. So as we hear the Word of God, our faith will grow. And that is why every week and really every service, we offer theology without apology. You know, we look forward to opening the Word of God and hearing what it has to say. And really, my hope and prayer is if we're meeting again in 40 years, I don't think I'll be at that meeting, that these principles would still be in play. Because I think that sometimes we are inflexible where we ought to be flexible, and then we're flexible where we should be inflexible. Does that make sense? Okay, where should we be flexible? We should be flexible in musical style, for instance. You've seen a lot of stylistic changes in just the service tonight, from something as basic as me leading a song a cappella to acoustic guitars, and as you see through the end of the worship, how it's changed over the years. And that's a good thing. And sometimes people don't want to change. No, we like this style, and we can only do this style. And they sort of get stuck in a rut, and they're living in the past. I think it's important to be flexible there. But then there are areas we must be inflexible. Where would that be? Well, in the study of the Bible. And we don't want to ever say, well, we don't do that anymore. We used to do that. No, no. That's where we must be inflexible. We have always followed the principles of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47 that we've identified in an acronym that is simply WELL, W-E-L-L. It stands for Worship, Evangelism, Learning, and Loving. The church that changed the world, the church of the first century, they were a worshiping church. It says in Acts 2 that they worshiped the Lord with gladness of heart. Number 2, they were an evangelistic church. We read that the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Number one, they were a learning church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and they were a loving church, because that chapter goes on to talk about how they cared one for another. So that's where we want to really be inflexible, meaning we're going to continue to study the Word. And here's another area where we need to be inflexible. In other words, we will keep doing this no matter what, and that is preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel, because this is really needed. You know, a lot of churches aren't doing that today. They're not inviting people to Christ. They're not giving people an opportunity to come to believe in Jesus. So not only do we believe that's important for us here at Harvest, but we have encouraged churches around the world to do this as well. I could tell you stories of when we've gone to do a crusade overseas in a place like Australia or New Zealand or another state, and how folks from our church will pay their own way to go over and help out and serve and share the gospel on the streets. And pastors have said, where do you get these people? These people that would come so far and go on our streets and tell others about Jesus, because these same people would say, well, that wouldn't work in our community. And they find it does work in their community, because the gospel never goes out of style. And God will always honor His Word. So we need to take this faith, and we need to use this faith. And if we don't use this faith, then we will find that it will get weaker. And really, when you get down to it, faith can make the difference between something happening and not happening. Let me say that again. Faith can make the difference between something happening and not happening. Look, God is the one that does the work, but He works through people. And He is looking for people to take steps of faith. Let's go back to that story where the Israelites were crossing the Jordan River. He said, get your feet wet. Now, could God have sovereignly parted the waters just like He did the Red Sea so they could have walked through? Of course. But He said, no, you get that ark up on your shoulders, the Ark of the Covenant, and you walk through those waters. You get your feet wet. He wanted them to put their faith into action. And throughout the years, we've had to take bold steps of faith. When we started at All Saints Church way back in the early 70s, I was 21 years old. And I'd only been a Christian for 4 years. You know how fast I went through my sermons that I had? I didn't have that many. And so from that point on to the present day, it was like on-the-job preparation and studying to give these messages out. And as this little Bible study grew, I was looking for someone to take it over. I thought, what can a 21-year-old do? How can I pastor this flock of people, many of them very old, like they're in their 30s? I'm not qualified. I tried to find others to take it over for me. Nobody would, and I realized that God was calling me to be the pastor of this flock. And we outgrew that church, and we started looking around for a property. We found this church that is part of our Sunday school structure now up in the hill. And so we made the move. And I was told when we left that church that this thing's going to fall apart if you leave, and you're going to fail, and it's never going to work. But we took a bold step of faith. We left with 300 people, and we arrived with 500 people. I don't know where we picked up the extra 200. They showed up. And then as our church grew and we were having multiple services, like double Sunday night services, then we moved down to Riverside Municipal Auditorium that we used to call Riverside Municipal Microwave Oven because there was no air conditioning. Then we went to Raincross Square and started holding our Sunday night services, and we realized we needed a building. So we bought this piece of land that we're sitting on right now, and we erected this building, and it cost $1 million to build this building. Now, $1 million is a lot of money. But back then, it was really a lot of money. It was like $50 million or more, perhaps. There was just no way. And we were told, this will never work. It's not going to happen. We took a bold step of faith, and the Lord honored it. And then take our crusades. You know, we were told, well, crusades are over with. Billy Graham is the last guy that will ever be able to do those. And people don't want to go to crusades anymore. They don't want that kind of a thing. Well, the last time I checked, the primary way that God reaches people is through the preaching of the gospel. That doesn't go out of style. So why would we back off on that? So we took a step of faith, and the Lord blessed as we started there at the Pacific Amphitheater. And the next year, we went to Angel Stadium, which has changed its name multiple times. Angel Stadium, Anaheim Stadium, and so forth. Edison Field. And now it's Angel Stadium again. But, you know, we went there, and then people said, well, this will only work in California. This wouldn't work anywhere else. Then we did one in Oregon. They said, well, it will only work in California and Oregon. It would never work in the South. Then we did it in Georgia, and we went to North Carolina. Well, okay, fine, but it never worked in the East Coast. They would never go for this. Then we went to New York and went to Madison Square Garden in Philadelphia. Well, okay, fine, it's an American thing. It would never work outside of the United States. So we went to New Zealand and we went to Australia. Well, okay, maybe America and Australia and New Zealand. But, you know, the gospel is the gospel. And it always works. Always will work. Then Pastor John Collins had the craziest idea I'd ever heard. He said, let's do a thing called Harvest America. And he was all the media out there, and let's go to thousands of churches on one day. It was so insane, I loved it. So we started planning it. We presented it to people. See, you just get together in your church, you get the live video. Oh, that won't work. Now, people won't come to church to watch a live video feed. No, we know it works because we're using it in our church, and we're not the only church doing it. Many others are using, no, people won't. It won't work. And I even had pastors say, you're crazy to even try this. Well, we did it. And it was one of the largest evangelistic events in American history. So but you got to take steps of faith or nothing will happen. Just a quick little look at this very familiar story. The story of Peter walking on the water, one of my favorites. It's Matthew 14, and they're out on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes. They're freaking out. They think they're going to drown. Jesus shows up, walking on the water. Verse 28 says, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, Peter is often used as an example of what not to do and what not to say. But I have to point out that our hat has to be off to him in this amazing display of faith. You want to talk about getting your feet wet? Peter was willing to get his whole body wet to walk on the water to Jesus. This was real, active, put everything on the line, muscular, go for broke faith. And I love it. I mean, it just seems like this was the most irrational thing one could possibly do. But faith is the refusal to panic. Faith has no back door. There was no safety net. Peter was not wearing those little water wings, you know, the little toddlers, you inflate them. Just in case it didn't work out, he'd still float. I mean, he was either going to walk on the water or he was going to sink. But this was not presumptuous. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. And he went and he walked on the water. How was he able to do it? He looked at Jesus. And I'll tell you what, when you look at Jesus, amazing things can happen. When you focus on Jesus and do it for his glory, God can do miraculous things. Years ago, Jonathan, our youngest son, we were over in Hawaii, and he wanted to try scuba diving. Well, I'm a certified scuba diver. I dive rarely, but I said, well, let's go get you a lesson. So he took a lesson and learned how to use the regulator and the mask and, you know, the weight belt and the whole deal. So the day came for his dive, and I went out with him, and the instructor who was going to go out with Jonathan, I said, now, you know how to dive? He said, oh, yes, I'm a certified diver, and don't worry about me. He said, okay, fine. And so we got in this little boat, we went out, and it was a really, really choppy day. I mean, the boat was pitching back and forth, and it was really not a good day to go diving. But I didn't want to show Jonathan my panic because I'm a certified scuba diver. So I was trying to act as though I was cool, but I really wasn't cool. I was going, this is scary. And so Jonathan's out there, and he gets his mask on and his regular, and you know, you fall backwards into the water, and then you breathe, and we fell in, and Jonathan starts to panic. He's panicking in the water. I'm looking at him. I'm kind of panicking a little bit. And this instructor was so great. He said, Jonathan, look at me. Look at me. And then he said, remember your training. So Jonathan's looking at him, and I'm looking at him. Breathe. You have a regulator. You can breathe underwater. It's okay. So you start to breathe, and you get underneath the water surface, and it is okay. And that's the same thing that's happening to Peter. Here's Peter. You know, he's doing well. He's looking at Jesus, and the moment he takes his eyes off of Jesus, he begins to sink. It was a lapse of faith. It says when he looked down in verse 30 and saw the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. And we will have lapses of faith. Have you ever had a lapse of faith? Well, I have. I don't mean that I've ever doubted my salvation or doubted the Bible. But there are times when I go through situations and I wonder how I'm going to get through them. Of course, one of those was when the Lord called our son Christopher to heaven. I know he's in heaven. I know that I'll see him in heaven one day. But then there is day-to-day living. And sometimes I think, you know, he's gone and I'll never see him again. And you know what I do when that happens? I preach the gospel to myself. I need to hear the gospel as well as preach the gospel. Sometimes I'm in my car and I'll actually preach. I'll like, Greg, Laura, you listen to me, you idiot. Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again from the dead. And he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You'll see your son again. I'll say that to myself and I believe it. I encourage all of you to believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. You know, believe what you believe because it is true. And Peter lost sight of things. So what did he do? He called out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I mean, you know, help. And that was the right thing to do. Another Hawaii story. I seem to have a lot of Hawaii stories. I was over there with my friend Ricky Ryan, who's a pastor. And we took Christopher, our oldest son, out surfing. He was very young. And this was a calm little spot, not big surf. And we're paddling out. And all of a sudden, the biggest set of waves came in. I mean, they were huge. And once again, I'm afraid. But Ricky's a seasoned waterman. I'm kind of looking over to Ricky. And as this one set of waves was crashing right in front of us, Christopher yelled out, Dad! Dad, what do we do? I said, we're okay, son. We're okay. Just pray. And he said, oh, Lord Jesus. That's what we all need to do. Oh, Lord Jesus, save us. And Jesus grabbed Peter and pulled him up and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And then they got up on the water and walked back to the boat. You know, Peter could have failed. But listen to this, I would rather try and fail than never try at all. Try. See, let's just see what the Lord has done. So let me say a word to you. We have many volunteers here tonight. How many of you are serving the Lord here at Harvest in some volunteer capacity? Raise up your hand. Thank you so much. God bless all of you. Thank you. How many of you are not volunteering or serving in any way? Raise your hand up now. Go ahead, raise your hand. Why? Maybe you can join us. But let me just say to you that have failed, you that have tried something for God and you failed, I have something to say to you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh yeah, thank you. Thank you for trying. Maybe it was that feeble attempt to share the gospel with someone. And it didn't go so well. Maybe you started that home Bible study and no one came. Maybe it was someone that was sick and you prayed for them, and instead of getting better, they got worse. I had a friend who asked me to pray for him once. He was nauseated. Greg, pray for me, and I did. And then he got really sick and was throwing up. And afterwards, he said, Greg, don't ever pray for me again. Sorry. But to all of you who have tried and failed, thank you for that. Because you tried. And you learn from your mistakes. You know, next time I'll do it this way. Next time I'm going to change that. So failure can actually be a great teacher. Often the doorway to success is entered through the hallway of failure. It's been said, if at first you don't succeed, what? I have a new version. If at first you don't succeed, relax. You're just like the rest of us. God will honor it. So we want to thank all of you for all that you've done, and let's continue to take bold steps of faith for Jesus Christ. Because I believe Christ is coming back soon. And I believe the days are short. Someone might be thinking, yeah, you said that 40 years ago. True, I don't deny it. But we're 40 years closer. So, we'll talk about some of the things we're looking at in the future and how to live that way tomorrow night. But now let's have some more great worship. So this team's going to come back out again, and they're going to lead us in a chorus of great praise songs. And so, is this not the greatest worship band ever? Come on. Yeah. It's all yours, guys.